My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Within the course of nearly a year of being a part of this program, From Radioland, we've managed to amass some 90,000 subscribers. The growth of this program has been quite remarkable, and my deepest thanks to everyone who has subscribed and continue to do so and have shared this this little podcast to all of their friends via social media. And we have over the course, and you know, next month in February will be our anniversary of this thing, and still trying to put something together for it. I don't know. We might do something. We might not. Things are moving in a weird direction with us. From time to time, we wind up getting ourselves involved in different things, and we have different plans and ideas and stuff like that. You know how it goes. It's called life, and it's all part of the mix of it. But I wanted to take an opportunity here, and this is a good chance right now to be a part of this. In light of what has happened in Europe, the Charlie Hebdo scenario, there was a similar thing that occurred just the other day as of the taping of this in Germany, where a newspaper was some people were throwing rocks at him at the building and Molotov cocktails and stuff like that. No one was really hurt or anything like that, from my knowledge, but it was all based on the fact that they had printed one of the Charlie Hebdo cartoons. And the whole, you know, poking fun at religion as part of satire. comedy works in a very weird world. Comedians, I've heard it put this way, is that they're like watchmakers. Let's get in here and let's see what's going on. And then when they get into a situation and they figure out what's going on, they're going to find something and they're going to poke some fun at it. It's all part of the freedom of speech that is enjoyed by a good chunk of the world. I'm not saying all of it, obviously. I mean, you don't have a freedom of speech in, say, I don't know, North Korea or China, per se. And apparently, any place that where religion is an issue. Yeah, okay, so this opens up that door. You and I, we're going to spend some time right now. We're going to go into some things, and we're going to see what's going on. We're going to be the watchmakers. We're going to crack open the back of the watch. We're going to get in there, and we're going to see what's going on today. Now, here's the thing. Before I go any further with any of this, I can and look, there's been no plan as to how I was going to do this. I knew I was going to get into this subject at one point or another, but I'm not going to sit here and try and be careful and not offend people. I may offend you. I might. It comes as a course of this. And frankly, I don't give a shit if I do. You know, sorry if you're offended, but let's be real about these things that are occurring in this world for whatever reason that they are, because these are things that need to be said. The New York Times had stated that, let me put it this way. If someone or a group of someone's is interested in killing you for what you say, then that thing that needs to be said needs to be said. It has to be said. If it's not, then all of a sudden we have allowed the people who are violent and the people who are misguided to run everything. We already live in a society now where, whether you want to look at it through political correctness or through, you know, we don't want to offend anybody by all of this, so we're just going to be vanilla about it. It has turned our society, I think at large, into a very overly sensitive type of world, a place, a thing, you know. I know there are political derivatives from this, and it's not necessarily a smart thing to have that either. And you can't sit there and say, well, this person says this, therefore he leans politically to the left or he leans politically to the right. I mean, you can't. Those days are gone. They really are. The bottom line is that we are all humans trying to somehow live together in a on a pretty small spot. You know, the whole adage about the earth is really nothing more, you know, and who we are. I'm going to put it into perspective for you. Think about this for a second. We are really nothing more than a bunch of talking primates traveling through space on an organic spaceship. I'm going to give you all time to go ahead and turn this thing off if you don't like where this is headed. Because here's something else, too. That when it comes to societies that rule themselves under the rules of religion, then you're going to have problems. That is why in the United States of America, the separation of church and state was a thing. Still is, really. What that boils down to is that the laws of the land are not to be dictated by the laws of religion. That's really what happens is, because if you look around the world and you see and you open your eyes and you see countries that have a religious leadership based government, you have oppression, you have violence, you have everything that at least on the surface, to my point of view, mind you, that stands against the religions in general. It just seems sort of silly to me. When you look at countries like Saudi Arabia, for example, who have very strict laws about certain things, and that's the way they live. That's their life. That's how that's going to operate. That's up to them. I don't live there. Some of you may not live there. Some of you may. I don't know. This podcast may not be allowed over there for obvious reasons. But when you have these religious-based rules, in my opinion, mind you, and everything from here on out is strictly my opinion. When you have these rules, you create an oppressed society. And when you have an oppressed society, you create ignorance. And when you create ignorance, then you have this sheltered existence that nobody seems to understand. And when you don't understand it, then heavy questions start getting asked. Let's look at the Islamic State. Okay, Islam is a religion. It's like the second largest religion on the planet, rapidly becoming nearly the largest religion on the planet. The reason being is that, you know, when you look at, not so much a reason of it, but when you look at the Islamic State and this may seem like I'm treading on thin ice here. You hear these stories about how difficult it is for a person to live under the rule of Islamic law. Sharia law is a thing, right? Now, there's fundamentalists, all right? If you want to learn more about Islam, just look it up. It's, you know, you're not going to go to hell for looking it up. Trust me. When I was in college, I took several courses in comparative theology, and I understand it. You know, I've read the Quran. I've read it. It's an interesting read. It's a fascinating read. There's a lot of parallels between the Quran and the current Bible. I say the current Bible because it seems to change, you know, based on interpretation. But that's the same thing. And there is this fundamental. There's always, no matter what the religion, there's a group of fundamentalists that will always say, I'm going to go back to what the literal translations of these works represent. And here's part of the problem. When you're looking at the things that are happening in this world based in religious law, and you're seeing things like, you know, incredible amounts of violence and oppression and things that's a hallmark of fundamentalism. I had this discussion once with a friend of mine, and he's a very devout Christian, and he said to me, he says, well, I consider myself a bit of a fundamentalist when it comes to, you know, God and Jesus and all of that. And I said, well, that's great. That's all well and good. That's your belief. I'm not here to stomp on your beliefs, but I do want you to think about them for a moment. I'm going to try and make this discussion you know, focused into the point where you can understand where I'm going with this. Because if you look across the world and you see these violent things happening, and they sit there and they go, well, this is all because of the Islamic people. That's not necessarily true. It really isn't. You cannot blame all of Islam for what is happening. The running gag that I see every now and then is like, well, Islam, they call themselves the religion of peace. It really is. It is a peaceful religion. The problem is you got a bunch of whack jobs out there that have taken those words to their literal meaning and their literal extrapolations, and they interject their own things into the words that had been written all those thousands of years ago. And they are now going to put that onto you. Because here's the thing. If you don't follow my religion, I have the right to kill you or do something. Where does it say that? I in fundamentalist teachings, yes. Look, it's no different here in this country. In the Christian faith, there are fundamentalists out there that are bent on being mouthy. They say hateful things. Some of them do hateful things. I'm looking at you, Westboro Baptist Church, which to me is sort of like, they're like their own satirical religion. It just seems so cartoony to me that this group has existed. Now that Fred Phelps is dead, you know, maybe those days might, you know, might go away. It's going to be kind of hard to recruit based on that. Nevertheless, to look at what is happening in the world, let's look at the Charlie Hebdo thing in Paris. You had these terrorists that had gone into this satirical newspaper and they shot up all these people based on a cartoon, okay, a cartoon that was drawn of Muhammad, and he says 100 lashes to those who don't buy this magazine or this newspaper or whatever it was. It's cute and clever. But the Islamic fundamentalists got pissed off because they couldn't, by their laws, have any depictions of Muhammad. Period. So by result of having that, they felt that it was necessary to punish these people, who were not Islamic people, by the way. They were French people. I'm talking about the people, the victims. And they felt that it was necessary for them to take up arms and go in and senselessly kill these people and hurt these other people. Because they believe in a God that promotes violence. Now, before people get their hackles worked up over a lot of this, let's keep in mind something. This also happened under Christian religions as well. Granted, it was a long time ago, but let us not forget the Spanish Inquisition. Let us not forget the Crusades. The Pope sending out military to people, and it was convert or die. It happened in my home state of Texas, where I grew up. The missions, the Alamo was a mission. They sent priests there to convert the Native Americans, the Indians, to Catholicism. Now, granted, at that time in the 1800s, there was really no record of them, well, you either convert or I put a sword to you. I'd hate to think that was actually the case back then. It could have been. But that was a long time ago in the American West. But even further back in time, throughout Europe, it was notorious. You follow Jesus and you follow our God. We don't care about what you people did in the past, but if you renounce that now, we're going to put you under trial now, and we're going to say if you renounce it, we'll forgive you and we'll let you live. And part of you following us is to collect money and goods from you to maintain that. Now, look, no one has asked what I believe in, all right? And I'm not necessarily going to sit here and volunteer it either, but I will tell you that, because you know why? It's none of your business, that's why. It's none of my business what other people worship or not. whether you're an atheist or not. It makes no bearing to me. I don't care. Y'all do what you want to do. Here's what I will do. Here's what I will tell you. What I don't believe in. I don't believe in a God or a supreme being that believes that I should kill my fellow creations based on their points of view or lack thereof. That just seems sort of counterintuitive to the real plan. Am I questioning God by that? Sure. I think we may be about ready to put God on trial, which I will probably get to here in a bit. Tell you what else I don't believe in. I don't believe in a God that requires heavy financing. Man created money, not God. What's the quote? Give unto Caesar what is his, but your ass belongs to me. I paraphrase, yes, but that's sort of how that was what Jesus had said. It was like, look, Caesar wants his taxes, pay your taxes. Those are the last, you know, you make these laws, you got to live by them. And that's that. Let's look back at that to put it back into perspective as far as any supreme being goes. If you want to look at the Christian faith, Jesus at one point went to Jerusalem, you'll recall very famously, and went to the temple, and there were the money changers. You know what the money changers were? They were people that were employed by the church to sit outside there, right? And since the common folk, if you will, would have to go to church because, you know, that's what they did. And they would have to give money to the church because, you know, that's what you had to do. And you went with your money and they'd say, oh, your money's no good because it's filthy. So you have to give me your filthy money and I'm going to give you clean money, minus a cut, mind you, so you can take that to the church. So why? see what happens here? If you had to buy doves for a sacrifice or whatever animal that they was for the blood sacrifice or whatever the case may be, you had to buy it with clean money. So you had to go to the money changers to make that happen. And then you had to buy from approved sources, which was run by the church. So Jesus, of course, very famously comes in and sees all this and he gets pissed off and he kicks the tables over and he's making a mess of things. And he's saying, this is not my Father's house. And of course, the Jews get upset, and then it goes on from there. And Jesus at that point became sort of not really a political figure, but he was an activist. That it wasn't about money; it shouldn't have been about money. But that was all taken away because that's why churches exist now. It's about money. Sadly, that's exactly what has happened. What was a church that I went to out of my own curiosity? It was a Baptist church. And they did the passing of the plate and all that other fun stuff. And they count the money during the service. So a little bit later on, they've got the accountant come up to the preacher and he says, well, he hands him a piece of paper and he says, this is the day's collection. He goes, and he chastised the crowd for the count being a little low. And he says he makes this incredible statement. This thing he said was, oh yeah, I understand. You may not want to give all of what you feel you should give to the church. That's fine. I don't have to know. But God does. Oh, please. We've now turned the supreme being of whatever it is that you follow or not into this thing that requires financial support. And if you don't live by the rules, then we should have you whacked. It's as if God has become the head of a mafia family.
It'd be a shame if something was to happen to this nice church of yours. You should be collecting more money.
It was Saturday Night Live years ago when the Oral Roberts thing happened, when Oral claimed that God had come to him and demanded that he have $1 million by the end of whatever time, like 3 or 4 months. And Saturday Night Live did the bit with Charlton Heston being God, and one of the actors that is playing Oral Roberts falls to his knees and he's praying and he's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. How am I going to get this money? And the door flies open and lit with this beautiful, bright, brilliant white light from behind. So all you see is the silhouette and you hear Heston in that big booming voice of his. He goes, "You got the money." And that's what has happened. That's what has happened to religion in this world. It's not just the Christian faith. It's the Islamic faith. It's everybody but the Buddhists, because the Buddhists are like, you guys do what you're going to do. We're just going to be left alone and let me think about this for a bit, because I find my peace from within. So you've got, on one hand, you've got the financial arm of the mafia, of religion, mind you. I would say Godfather, but it just seems sort of kind of counterintuitive to call God the Godfather, but that's kind of what he's turned into by people. And he sit in his Armani suit at the end of a long table surrounded by his archangels and his people, and he sits there and he's drinking his Chianti and smoking his cigar. And he's going around the table to the heads of the five families. You know, the heads of the five families would be the heads of the five major religions. I'm laughing at this because, yeah, it's blasphemous as hell. But to me, this is funny. This is hilarious to me. Because let's think about it. If that's what's happening, is God sitting there and he's going around the table. So, Jesus, the collections are a little light this month. What's up with that, huh? And Jesus is sitting there shrugging his shoulders. I don't know, Godfather. I'll get my people on it. Yo, Muhammad, not many conversions this month. I think you're not killing enough. We're gonna have to have some of these people bumped off. You know what I'm saying? Let's rub them out. Is that happening? Because that's sure as shit the way it looks like on the surface. Is that what this is supposed to be about? If you're following a supreme being of some sort that believes like that, that I'm told that if I follow certain religions and I die in service to this God, I am rewarded with some sort of paradise involving 72 virgins. What if I don't really want that? Because really, 72, one's plenty. Thanks. I mean, yeah, eternity is a long time. I get all that. But yeah, they're going to give the fellas 72 virgins in a world that is sexually oppressed already. You must withhold your desires until you die. Look, I'm no expert. I'm no true theologian, but it seems to me that if you were given a life in this world, that you should live it. You should, sample it. We pretty much only get one spin around this whole deal. Life's a little short. And it's way too short for us to have to worry about who we have to kill because we don't like the depictions of our God. Some political people, those that are, who try and tie religion and politics together, they're quick to say, well, you don't see the Christians getting worked up about depictions of Jesus. That's not true. Charlie Hebdin, the paper, dealt with a lot of criticism and lawsuits. Yeah, lawsuits from Christian faiths that have said, we don't really particularly care for the way you depicted Jesus. Well, look, the freedom of speech gives you the ability to say it. Whether you like it or not, it has to be said. And the bottom line is, if you don't like what's being said, don't listen to it. You don't like what I'm saying, turn it off. Go ahead, turn it off now. Delete my subscription. Whatever you want to do, you have that right to do so. And look, there are some very tasteless and tacky things that have happened out there in the world that I don't subscribe to, I don't care for, but I defend their right to say it and do it. As you should. What happened in France is a travesty. Violence from religion is not religion. It never has been and it never will be. And I find it really hard to believe that if there is some massive supreme being out there that loves his creation so much and wants everything to go right for this creation, that A, he's not willing to do anything about it and hadn't said anything in 2,000 years since then, and B, has this whole mentality that we should destroy ourselves as a result of that. I just find that hard to believe. That's a thing, you know? People do a lot of things in the name of their God, in the name of their religion. The Islamic fundamentalists say that you should not, and it's strictly forbidden, to use the image of Muhammad in any way, shape, or form. Really. And I guess it was in the late 1800s, there was a, I think it was a like a beef fat extract cooking type thing, you know, like Crisco, if you will, for, you know, cooking, that was Muhammad brand. And it came with trading cards of Muhammad on various adventures, riding his horse through the deserts. The Aladdin Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Seen this with my very own eyes. It's not there anymore, but because the Aladdin's not there. And the High Limit slot room on the ceiling. Beautiful murals that are painted. Okay. Aladdin. Hello. The Arabic thing. Hey, who's overseeing the High Limit slots? Muhammad. There were Muhammad brand cigarettes in the 1920s and 30s. Yeah, okay. For a company to use a religious figure to sell something, it, you know, kind of cute and clever, maybe. I don't know. Tacky? Sure. Why not? You're probably not going to be selling too many cigarettes to the Islamic people that are smoking, you know, Muhammad brand cigarettes. But that's what happened. You had a bunch of cartoonists in Paris, France, in the year 2014, and they make a clever, cute little comment with Muhammad. And these people decide that they're going to exact revenge on this, not by putting anybody on trial or questioning them or asking them to politely stop. No, they grab AK-47s and kill everybody in the room. And in the process, make themselves and the religion that they follow look ridiculous. Christians are no different. We just went through it 2,000 years before all of this. You know, and when it comes to imagery, look, no, ain't nobody got the Catholics beat. Step into a Catholic church and you'll talk about the imagery. If I'm not mistaken, one of the Ten Commandments specifically says that you shall not make graven images, you know, of the God or a God or of any God. But yeah, I do see there's a Jesus hanging on a cross somewhere in that church. And there's paintings of Jesus going through the stations of the cross. Oh, yeah. And then there's that argument. You know, this is where I love, this is where the politics comes in. And you hear people, and they do this all the time. Well, you know, Jesus was a white man. Oh, shut the fuck up. He was from Israel. Have you seen the Israeli people? They're olive-skinned. They look more Greek than anything else. For God's sake. The whole thing about religion getting involved in our world, it has to be taken with a very private attitude. Am I getting preachy? Yeah, probably. I probably am. But look, you know, people are dying. It's, like I mentioned, it's 2015. I think I said 2014 earlier, but it's actually 2015. I'm recording this in January, by the way. Here's the thing. We have progressed as a species of creature to the point where we can explore other planets. We have done things like we've annihilated disease, certain forms of disease. Did you know that in 2000 we completely wiped out the measles disease? Did you know that? I just learned that myself. In 2000, measles completely eradicated from the earth. But thanks to the people that aren't vaccinating their kids, a bunch of cases of measles is now starting to turn up. We have cracked the DNA code of human beings. We have the ability to clone people now. Should we? No, probably not. I'll save that for another time. The bottom line is, we're a pretty smart group of animals that live here. Certainly, there's not a group of chimpanzees in a forest somewhere having this very same discussion that you and I are having. There again, stranger things have happened. But if you follow the religion, if you will, of an animal, if you'll notice that they do kind of love each other. They really do. I mean, granted, predatorial instincts do come into play. You know, lions really love deer. They're tasty. Sunday dinner, as it were. So should we put God on trial? Perhaps. Maybe so. Why not? I guess we should send a subpoena to the Vatican, I guess. They're the only ones that hold themselves out as being the real, you know, true. They're the spokespeople for heaven, apparently. And the Pope, you know, he's a great cat. You know, he seems like he's all right. But look, let's be honest here. He still has all the trappings of royalty because that's what he is. He's the vicar of Christ, for God's sake. But by God, maybe we should put God on trial. Maybe we should call the Almighty in. And we got questions. We've all got questions. The Bible's a confusing collection of books. Some of it was even kicked out. There's a thing called the lost books of the Bible. A lot of that causes a lot of fight. Well, you can't include that because it was not verified. Hell, the rest of it isn't verified, for God's sake. You know, we should take a look at this stuff. We have the right to ask. Jesus said you must ask questions. You must question everything. So there's your argument for you Christians. Jesus said it was okay to question. So by God, I've got questions. And nobody's got answers. I think my first question would be, do you really condone the killing of other people based on what you're teaching? Yeah, that's an uncomfortable question for anything to answer, whether you're the Almighty, the Omnipotent, whatever you are. Because if he says no, then there's your answer. But if he says yes, then that's just going to open up a bunch of doors there. Because according to your teachings there, old man, if we're supposed to kill people based on what they think or not think or what they believe or not believe, then it goes against this other rule that says you shouldn't kill people at all because you'll go to hell. There's the contradictions. How much money do you really need? It's a thought. Is some of this upsetting? Not to me anymore. No. Because here's the thing. As a result of what the actions of several people have done, this is two and three people. This is the mark of terrorism. This is what terrorism does. This is why terrorism works. Is that the actions of a very few select individuals can dictate how the rest of us and the rest of society think and operate. As a result of that jackass that got onto the airplane and tried to light his shoes on fire because he had a bomb in his shoe, as a result of that, I have to take off my shoes before getting onto a plane. There was the other guy that tried to do the same thing, but he had explosives in his underwear. As a result, I just don't travel with underwear anymore. It's all reactionary. Somebody does something silly, then it's now we all have to, like, we have to guard against that. Look, it didn't work the first two times. It sure ain't going to work another time. Even if it did. We've been blowing planes up out of the sky for years. Remember all the hijackings that occurred back in the 60s and 70s? What was that from? Political motivation. Religious motivation. So it's all it is. People are going to do what people are going to do, and you can't stop them. And that's the unfortunate thing. But what you can do is really try and think about your actions. Look, when the New Testament came out and the Gospels came out, it was said in there, and you can argue this all you want to, but it says this in there. If you follow this, you would know what I'm talking about. When Jesus came back from his resurrection and he went to the disciples, who were pretty stunned that this dead guy had walked into the room, and he sent them out and he said, go, spread the word. Do the things that I have done, but don't take any money for it. Don't take anything that you cannot repay. If they offer to feed you, accept it. If they offer to clothe you, accept it. But don't take anything else. We've lost that sense a long time ago. The basic rule, man. And this is, you know, if you want to believe in something, then believe in this one thing. All you have to do is love one another. It's tough. I fight with that every day, man. Because a lot of you people, I could give a shit about. So at least try. Try and be at least somewhat accepting. Tolerant is actually a good way to go with it. Tolerance would carry you a long way. Do I agree with killing people in the name of a God? No. Do I tolerate it? No. Or else I wouldn't be talking about it. But what can I do? Well, I could tell you a joke. Muhammad walks into Paris and says, shoot, wrong city. I was actually going to put that on Twitter when the Charlie Hebdo thing happened, but I thought about that. And this is the problem. It gave me pause. Not for my own safety, but whether or not I really thought it was truly funny. And I don't know if it is or not. It's clever. But here's the thing. People that do this for a living are now in a weird position because now they have to think. Comedians do not think. That's the beauty of being a comic. You're first told if you're an improv comic, if you're learning the craft, the thing that you do is stop thinking. It's counterintuitive, I know, but that's the way it works. But now it's different. You have to think twice before making a statement that could potentially piss somebody off. Look, let's just get down to the brass tacks of the whole thing. People are going to get pissed off. I'm not here to please everybody, nor do I want to please everybody. Life would be too boring if that were the case. You know, I've often said it. If you're not happy with what I said, go, fine. Go, do your own thing. There's plenty of others that do, and I thank them for that. But if I have to watch what I say or do or draw or create because I might offend somebody, fuck them. I'm not afraid. You just do what you're going to do. If I get killed from a terrorist attack, then I guess that was in the cards. I don't mean to be morose, but there's, you know, after 9/11 happened and all this, well, I'm not getting on a plane anymore. That's crazy talk, man. Bullshit. Get me on a plane. Let's go. The odds of that happening on my flight are slim to nil. I got more of a chance of getting ripped off by the flight attendant than I would by, you know, dying in a plane crash as a result of somebody's religious beliefs. Look, here's the thing. If that's what they believe and they pass and they die in the, you know, the suicide bombing thing, I still don't get, but it just seems so counterintuitive. But they get to their paradise, as it were, and then they find out, you know, from the Godfather, you weren't supposed to kill yourself. You're my greatest soldier, but you killed yourself for me. It means nothing. I gave you life and you threw it away. Maybe that's how that goes. Maybe that's how it is. Hell, I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. Aside from what I know should not be the case. And that is, as I stated earlier, you shouldn't be living in a violent state of mind based on any religion. I don't see how that has a future. Personally, I don't believe that any religion requires the stupid amount of money that they claim to get. And they get tax-free on it, too. I don't buy that. And I don't buy into that either. I don't get that. If you want to look into it seriously, I don't see where God said anywhere about, you know, having to give.
Oh, but Rick, you know, it does say that you're supposed to give 10% of your income.
Yeah, that was the Old Testament, sweetheart. It's called tithing. Too many crooked churches ruined a lot of that. And when you talk about crooked churches, look, you know, there's a bunch of children lined up somewhere right now grabbing their ass going, what the hell just happened? I trusted him. So, you know, look, we're all guilty. We're all guilty of thinking about doing things that we shouldn't be doing in the name of a God. I just don't buy it. Maybe you people can understand me. Maybe you can shed some light on it. And I'm trying to be as simple as I possibly can about it. I don't know that even if you told me why that was the case and why that was supposed to be, why I even would even believe in it. It's just the logic doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. How is it that a woman in an Islamic state is already so vilified just by virtue of her having a vagina? Oh, she was raped. Oh my God, she's guilty of extramarital sex. Let's have her stoned. What kind of bullshit is that? I mean, that's all Old Testament shit. I get it. But I think we can progress beyond that a little. I mean, my God, think of the people that were tortured and beaten and died because they believed and proved that the earth orbited the sun, not the other way around. Remember that. There was a time when the Vatican had stated that the earth was the center of the universe because it said so. God told me that it said that we are the center of the universe. There cannot be life on other planets because that would throw our whole religious thing out. So the earth is the center of the universe. We've proven a long time ago that ain't the case. Hell, we've been to other planets. We know. There's talk of fossilized life, granted bacteria form, on Mars. Well, that'll make you think. What's going to happen one day when somebody from NASA says, hey, guess what? Not only is there life on other planets, there's a whole civilization out there. And they're giving us a book, and we translated it. It's called How to Serve Man. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. The people coming up behind you, skip a generation and go to that generation, and you realize that you really don't have much in common with these people. We seem to have gone into the they have gone into the extremes. Don't count me into this because I'm not raising anybody's kid. No, these parents are real quick to defend their children. My kids are not like that. My innocent little kids are wonderful. No, they're not. They're hellions. They're bastards. Every last fucking one of them. I'm not going to let little Johnny advance to the next grade because he's stupid. He hasn't figured it out. He needs to be held back a year. You never hear of that these days. You never hear of a child being held back a year. I'm like a weirdly younger version of my father with long hair and questionable facial hair. It's just this whole thing.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So there you have it. Yeah, it's a little blasphemous, you know. It's just some things that need to be said and some things that need to be thought about. Your religion is your business. My religion is my business. Some would say I lack a religion. Look, we all have a religion. Whether you're an atheist or not, we all have a religion. We all do. Well, that's crazy talk, Rick. How can that possibly be? I don't believe in a God. The fact that you don't believe in a God is a religion in and of itself. Have you seen the atheist movement now? Because it's like they're recruiting people. which just I laugh at. I think it's, I mean, that's your business, but it just seems sort of funny to me. Like, hey, we're having an atheist convention. We're going to talk about not having a God. Come on down. Give us money so we can keep spreading the word. Spreading what word? That there is no God? That's right. Well, that makes no sense. Let's have an anti-Santa Claus campaign, and let's correct the world on all of that. So all the little children in the world that believe in the old man, the creepy old man that comes down the chimneys and gives us gifts for being nice, is just a thing that doesn't... Like I said, your religion or lack thereof is your own business. And in the past 45 minutes, I have not given you what my beliefs are. I just told you what I don't believe in, because it's none of your business. You don't have, you know... If we meet somewhere and you want to ask me, I might tell you, I might not. You know, I don't believe I should be the one to sit here and proselytize and preach and whine and moan and groan about it, although I just did for 45 minutes. But what I was bitching about and what I'm complaining about and what upsets me is grotesque to me. People die as a result of their lack of the faith in that other religion. I don't get that. I don't understand. That whole convert or die, it's just hurtful and alarming to me. And it's not good for society. But that's my point of view. So keep your religion to yourself. And please, keep your politics in your pants. I'm done with that, too. Because not once have I opened up something on Facebook and looked at it and go, well, so-and-so this and so-and-so that, and this is why this is, and this is why... Oh, you know, I never really considered your point of view from your so-and-so, your source that you've collected here from that nobody trusts or likes, and it looks ridiculous because it isn't true because nobody vetted it. So I'm going to change my point of view because of you. Screw that. Politics are a joke. We're about to enter into, you know, of course, here we are in 2015, but now, you know, for the political people, it's all, hey, 2016 will be here. You know what that is? That's an election year, man. That's when we get a new president. We get to elect a new president in 2016. In other words, we're electing who the parties believe are the best people for a job that nobody really wants, and that spend an amazing amount of money for a job that doesn't pay anywhere near that, so they can be the leader of the free world and really have no power. They're all the same. Republicans, Democrats, they're all the same. They're all out to get you. It makes no difference. None whatsoever. Yeah, well, okay, that's enough of that. I'm going to get on out of here, get moving along. You heard what's coming up next time. So there you go. So look, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And I mean it. I want you to think about it for a minute. And I always, not always, but I try and remind you of this. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another. It's just that simple. You want a little golden rule? Just do that. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Life is too short to be worked up about little shit like the stuff that's going around in the world. It's sad. It's upsetting. If you don't like it, do what I did. Open your mouth and say something. So once again, thank you for everybody who has subscribed to this podcast. If you're new to the show, we're up on the iTunes. It's probably where you've probably downloaded it from, is iTunes. And we're available in a whole bunch of other places, too. You can find the written home of this thing, which is really not much of a written home, but it's something of it. It's where some of the episodes can be heard. If you're not on an iPhone or an Apple device, there's a podcast app for all the smartphones. You can download the thing onto your tablet or your netbook or even probably through your phone by going to my Blogspot page. Yep, rickcheddar.blogspot.com is where it's at. Also, radio-memphis.com. It's always found up there. There's a whole page called... it's devoted specifically to this podcast, so you can go there as well. So that is that. Look, you know, what else is there to say? Think about it. Do what you can, or not. You know, life's too short, right? So thank you so much. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.